You are listening to the Hiking Radio Network, where we talk the walk with shows by hikers about hikers for everybody.
Welcome to the Trail Dames Podcast, where we speak with women who love to dance upon this earth. So if you are a longtime listener to the podcast, and I hope you all are, then you're going to know today's guest. Something that I have to tell you, this podcast has brought into my life has been this really amazing opportunity to see someone go from the littlest, tiniest bit of a dream all the way across the arc to reaching that dream. And it's happened with several of our guests. You'll see that if they come on several times, we get to see this amazing journey. Well, today we're talking to Lisa Work, and we are getting to see the beginning of the culmination of a years-long dream, a dream she didn't even know she had. So you'll remember her the first time we talked. She came on and we talked with she and her friend Audrey about the Appalachian Camino. They had, Audrey had created this Camino hike, a spiritual hike for people in her church. And she is an Episcopalian priest. And they hiked in the mountains on the Appalachian Trail of Pennsylvania. And then the next time we talked, Lisa herself was going to school, getting ready to go to school to become a priest in the church. And we talked to her and we talked to Audrey and yet another woman who is a priest in the Episcopalian church. And at that point, we also still talked about the Camino because the third woman had done the Camino. Well, Lisa is getting ready to actually do her own Camino in Spain. And she is going to not only tell us all about it today, but then she's going to podcast live from the Camino for us. I say live, we won't get to actually hear it live when it comes out on the podcast, but I will get to talk to her live. So for now, listen to how this came about, all her amazing plans and what she's hoping to get from it. I'm so glad you're here. My name is Anna. All my friends call me Mudbutt. And today you're listening to a special Fifth Tuesday episode of the Trail Dames Podcast. Lisa, I'm so happy to have you back on the show.
It's good to be back on the show with you, Anna. It is.
Do you know, this is a, it's such a neat progression because when I first met you, you were not only talking about doing the Camino in Virginia, Pennsylvania,
Pennsylvania, the Appalachian Camino.
The Appalachian Camino. And you were getting ready to start school. And then the next time we spoke, it was, you were, I don't know if you had started school.
It was just a few months before I was heading off to school and I was doing my first solo hike.
Yes, yes. And we were talking about, because I had three of y'all on.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, see you. And you were, we had two Episcopalian ministers and yourself studying to be one. Mm-hmm. And now here you are. And you just finished your second year of school. Is that right?
Literally just this week. Yes.
That, first of all, I'm so excited. Give us a quick update on that before we jump to your big news. How is school going?
School is going great. I am in seminary working on my Master's of Divinity degree, and I will, at the end of it, have a Master's of Divinity degree and be on the way to being an Episcopal priest. Wow. So this time next year, I will have graduated and somewhere in the process of becoming a priest. It's a process.
That's just amazing to me. It's amazing because it feels like yesterday that we talked that this had become your dream, you know, and you were just jumping off for it. So, and now let's make sure that I've got it correct. So you were called priests. You're not called ministers.
You can call us both. Either of those are fine. I will be a priest. I'll be a deacon, and some people refer to it as a transitional deacon.
Okay.
Because you're a deacon for 6 months. That's when I'll become the reverend. And then of 6 months or so after becoming a deacon, I'll become a priest.
Oh, wow. Well, and of course, at that point, you'll have to come back on the show so we can do this entire timeline. So.
The life and times of Lisa Wirth.
Exactly, exactly. So, well, let's talk about the super exciting thing you have going on right now, because this is why you're here. And tell us what you're getting ready to do.
3 weeks from today, I will be on a plane toward Madrid, Spain, where I will be doing my pilgrimage, my personal Camino, on the Primitivo route in Spain.
This is so amazing. And because I have to tell you, one of the things I really love about this, I've had several friends do the Camino, I'm going to say the Camino, but several different Caminos, and the Portugal one. And
the Frances one is the one everybody knows about. And in fact, in a couple of days, maybe 3 or 4 days, they're having a re-release of that movie, The Way.
Which I had to tell everybody, if you have not watched it, run, do not walk to your theater and see it. Because it's one of my all-time beloved movies, because I think it shows what life is like on a long hike better than anything I could ever imagine. So, but in terms of the Camino, I have to say the people I've known that have done it, some did it for spiritual reasons, some did it for personal enrichment reasons, you know, a lot of different reasons. You're the first person I've been friends with to do it that literally has this connection, this true spiritual connection to the actual Camino. And is that why you're doing it?
Oh, wow. So I knew you were going to ask this question, and I still got a little choked up when I heard you say it. Yeah, I feel like God is calling me to the Camino, and not exactly for any reason, like I'm going to have this big epiphany, although that would be okay if I did.
You're open. You're open to anything.
I'm totally open to that. I really think that this is, and it might sound quirky, but I really feel like I'm going to learn to live more questions and not answers. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. You know, and it's funny because, okay, so we're jumping over, like, you know, I did a little list of questions we're going to talk about, you know, how many days and what you're going to wear. We'll get to that, but we're going to jump to the good stuff because I want you to talk to me about that statement, living more questions.
So I, you know, I'm a retired educator, so I like answers. And I was a math teacher for a long time.
Oh.
I like answers.
Correct answers. Clear answers.
Answers that we know how to get to. Yes, that you can explain yourself. And what I'm realizing the older I get is that it's not really about the answers as much as it is about living into the questions. There's a Marie Rainier Rilke quote, that it's more important to live the questions. And that's where life is really valuable. And I know as a priest, people will be coming to me for answers. And I probably am not going to have answers, but I can live questions with them.
I think that, you know, I often have to remind myself in the podcast that this is not about me. This is about my guest. But I have to tell you, I've got goosebumps because you were so speaking to me this afternoon. I literally had a meeting, and it was a business meeting. We were talking about numbers, and the bottom line was we were talking about like projections of the future. And my business advisor, she says, you won't be right. Get away from the idea of being right. You won't, you know, this is, you know, and she explained all the reasons we're doing it. And I really sat there and I was like, how do I live in a place of that not knowing? And it's what you're saying, living with the questions and leaning into them. It's a little uncomfortable. No, I take it back.
No. It's a lot uncomfortable. Let's just be honest. And the more I realize that's part of why I feel called to do this walk, this Camino, the more it scares me.
Yep.
I'm just frank. It makes me a little uncomfortable because I do like to have control. I have, of course the viewers can't see, but I brought this so you could see like all of my planning, and behind me, we have the little board back there with all of the, and so I like to have a plan, and we have a plan, but we also know, we know enough to, my husband's coming with me on this, mm-hmm. of course. And we know enough that we have to hold those lightly and be okay with, well, if we can't make the mileage that day, it's going to be okay. So
in general, so, you know, you talk about being a math teacher and we can joke all day long, like you said, about knowing how to get to the answer. And I can joke about it. It needs to be the precise answer. And, but personally, are you the kind of person that does really like not only to have a plan, but to stick with that plan?
You know me well enough to know that answer. Yeah, I don't have to stick with the plan. I like to have a plan, and I'm usually okay with not holding on to it. I just like to have something to start out with. Mm-hmm. I probably don't do as well, if I'm really honest with myself, just like no plan. Not my MO.
Gotcha.
I'm okay with having a plan and having to work the plan. I mean, I can't be a school educator and a former school administrator with not being able to work a plan, right?
That's true. That is true. So, well, I love, you know, I don't know if you said these exact words, but what I heard in my head was that you're being drawn to the Camino and you're, you know, for me, I just heard it as this purpose that, you know, this is kind of like fate, if I may say, like you said, yeah. God was calling you. And I get this beautiful view of looking at your life from the outside. Cause like I said, the first time we ever talked, you were doing the Appalachian Camino, which was so cool. It was invented by Audrey and her friend, you know, and I don't remember if you had a whole lot of backpacking experience before that.
I did
that.
Have some backpacking experience before that. I'd hiked the White Mountains not Washington. So
that's
yeah,
good
I had
backpacking
some.
Experience.
Yeah. But it was different. It was a very different experience and I think that has been a lesson I've learned since you and I talked for the first time before. Every backpacking experience is different.
True.
And you cannot expect it to be the same, because if you do, you'll be really disappointed. Mm-hmm. And I also know that, like expectations and expectancy, that's where I'm trying to live in the expectancy and not the expectations.
Oh, what a great way of looking at the differences. Because yeah, I always live in the expectations if I'm not careful.
Oh, and so. And then you get disappointed. You're going to get disappointed every time, right? Mm-hmm. With expectations.
Yeah.
And one of the things I'm like, oh, was I going to say this out loud? But I guess I am.
Of course you are.
Of course I am. I have a spiritual director that I speak with once a month, and she and I were talking just a couple of weeks ago about, I won't see her until after I come back from the Camino. And, you know, what was I thinking and what are my thoughts about it? And I was starting to feel the angst of, what if I can't finish? Like, what if I can't do it in that short amount of time? And, so we have 2 weeks. I'm like, what if I don't finish it? And I want to get my Compostela, and what will happen if I don't? And I started going in the what if path. And so she said, so what if you don't? What does that mean to you? And it was a long silence after that. And I had to think about it. And I realized that was part of my expectation, is somehow I thought the Compostela was success.
Right.
But what if I can't, for whatever reason, do the last 100 miles and therefore not get the Compostela? Would that whole 2 weeks be a failure? No, I don't think so. It makes me have to reframe it. Mm-hmm. And so I've been sitting with that for the last couple of weeks of and that's the living in the expectancy, right? And not the expectations.
And that is a question to lean into, because I suspect that there, you can try to plan for your plan not working out, you know, make a plan in your head.
Yes,
in case you
exactly
don't finish.
Yes. I've done that, maybe.
You know, but the truth is that maybe you don't even know how you would feel. Maybe you can't even begin to foresee what the possibilities are, which is kind of magical and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so, but I will tell you, because I have these conversations all the time with my therapist, and she'll say, how do you feel? And I'll say, whatever. And she'll say, what does that make you think? And I'll say, I'm a failure. And she'll go, is that true? Now, you know, the correct therapy answer is no, it's not true.
No, it's true.
Every single time I go, yes, it is true. End of story. And it takes me quite a while and a little bit of pulling from her to lean into that question and go back, is it true? So, yeah, who knows what the end of your Camino will hold.
I have no idea.
Isn't that great? And that, what a great place to live into that place. I have no idea. In fact, if you had to have a trail name, No Idea might be a fun one.
That might be a really good one. Maybe Savoring Life, No Idea.
I like, yeah, because I do love the Savoring Life for sure. So, so let's go back. I want to talk about something real quickly. And this is like, it has to do a little bit with my bird's eye view of kind of seeing how all this has been leading to your Camino. But how exactly did this happen? Because that is a very cool story. I want you to tell
everybody. It is a very cool story. So this summer I was doing some work in a hospital, chaplaincy work. And in that process, I sent an email to one of the professors here on campus saying, you know, have you thought any more about, maybe we could do, trips that you can do, like educational studying things. Said, you know, do you think that that's something we could do like for a January term? Well, that's not the best time to go in the Camino. But so she and I chatted a little bit. And then in August, when I was back here on campus, I sent her an email saying, hey, could we talk? She said, oh, I have something. She forwarded an email to me from the Anglican or the Friends of the Anglican Center in Santiago. And she said, you should read this newsletter. So I did. And I signed up for it, of course. And then they sent an email newsletter that said there's a grant scholarship opportunity for seminarians. So I literally sat on it and did nothing then for 2 or 3 months. And because I thought, oh, so many things. But then it was due the last week of November. And so right before Thanksgiving, I thought, you know what? I'm just going to fill out the application and send it in. Whatever happens, happens. And maybe that'll give me an idea of whether this is the summer I should do it or not. So I sent it away and they weren't making the decision until January. So January comes and goes. And actually, it was the last week of January. I'm like, well, I guess I didn't get it because I hadn't received an email. Well, actually, February 1st, I received an email.
Yay.
Congratulating me that I was one of two people in the world who received this scholarship, this application or this grant to be able to walk the Camino. So that's how it started. And so I went, wow, I think this actually might be happening now. And so I told my husband and we were very excited. And he's like, so you're going to walk it without me?
No.
Well, I guess. Can you get off work those times?
You're like, I'm going. You work it out if you want to.
That was pretty much out. He was very supportive. He knew that so then we were very grateful. He talked to his employer who said, oh, you have to do this with your wife. Absolutely. And so they've made the way for us both to be able to do it.
Well, and I have to say, I love this because, of course, I've never met your husband at all. I've only seen him on Facebook, but that does not stop me from saying I'm a big fan. Like, I've just watched y'all for several years now, and you are so lovely together. You seem to truly make each other stronger, and I can see this isn't a I have to bring my husband because I'm scared without him. And it's I have to go with my wife because I'm the he-man. It's because y'all really want to experience this together.
So somebody here at school said to me, oh, I'm so glad you're not going alone. I'm like, why? Because you didn't think I could handle it? Why? Because you just need to know I'm the one who's better at navigating. And that poor person, my poor friend, they were like, so sorry, backing up. And my husband will freely admit to this that I am the better navigator of the two of us. So
I love it. That's awesome. You know, that is my least favorite question whenever anyone talks about hiking and backpacking. And I just try and get off the subject as quickly as possible because that's people just a little bit out of love wanting to give you their fear, you know,
yeah.
And I don't need any of their fear. So have you guys been training?
Yes, we have. We have been training. We were doing really well training and getting our, we have our little Fitbits on and we go out for our walks and our schedules are with my school schedule and his work schedule. We don't always get to do it together, but we were both, you know, faithfully doing it. And then the week before Easter, which like for clergy and clergy to be, it's like the Super Bowl week.
Right.
So it, like my really great training schedule went out the window.
I could imagine. God's like, that's okay. This week's mine.
Exactly. This week. And then the following week, I had a bunch of classes that had assignments due. It was crazy. So then I was like, oh, we're not getting it. But we're back into it pretty heavily now. We've been walking. Our goal is to walk 10 to 15 miles a day here. Now, we don't always get that here, but we get it at least maybe 3 or 4 times a week. So we're hoping that will help.
You know, one of the very first thing ever that happened in my life that led me down the hiking, backpacking, AT, Trail Dames path was signed up to do one of those 3-day walks for breast cancer, 16 miles in 3 days. And my mom drew me up a training schedule. And the thing that I learned there that I never forgot is that trying to do 10 miles a day, even 3 days a week, it's a shocking time commitment.
It is.
It takes a long time. It really, you know, do you know anyone else that has 3 hours free in every day? Or
it's I mean, and so we have to do it most days in chunks, right? Mm-hmm. Like a little bit before in the morning early and a little bit. So because we don't have, you know, several hours a day to go. Well, I mean, we'll be doing that in June, but right now we don't have that time. And we look a little funny in here in Alexandria, Virginia with our little backpacks walking up and down the sidewalk. But yeah,
I love it. You can't be the first people that have been training around there. I mean,
pretty sure not.
Yeah.
But, and whenever I see somebody walking with a backpack and trekking poles, I'm like, oh yeah, you go, you're training for something.
I'm rude. If I see that, I stop. I'll pull my cover and go, what are you training for? I always want to know.
So. I love it. So I love it.
Tell us about, so you said you're going to be 2 weeks. You have a 2-week window.
Mm-hmm.
And how far are you trying to cover in 2 weeks? How far are you going to cover in 2 weeks?
So we actually will be there. We'll arrive on the 2nd, but we won't start hiking till the 3rd. And our goal is to be done by the 17th. So it is 2 weeks, right? 14 days, but we'll be in Spain a little longer. A little over 200 miles. That's the complete Primitivo route, which everybody's like, well, isn't that? That's not really the Camino Santiago. Well, yes, it is. There's like 52 of them.
I was going to say,
nobody knows that.
Yeah.
There are 52 of them. And we're walking the Primitivo route, which is the first one. King Alfonso II was the first person to make the pilgrimage to Santiago. And that's the route that we'll be taking.
So I always have read the statement, or the sentence, the Camino provides.
Yes.
Tell me what that means to you.
So I think it's probably meant the same that it meant for me when I did sections of the Appalachian Trail. You get what you need when you need it. And that's one of those things just in life. I've realized that that's how life works. We get what we need when we need it. And so I am trusting the same along the Camino Primitivo for us, such as good lung inhaling, going up some of the Hospitalet route and like things like being able to, I'm teaching myself Spanish. I know French. I don't know Spanish. I can understand Spanish okay. So I'm trusting that my Spanish language abilities will improve and the Camino will provide there. And I also think it has to do with being open. I think that you can only receive if you're open.
Absolutely. That makes total sense. So, and it's interesting because it almost feels like the choice to put ourselves in, if I may say it, a suffering way, you know, hot,
vulnerable,
sweaty,
maybe, yes.
Vulnerable is good.
We're going to go with vulnerable.
out of breath, you know, maybe hungry, maybe a little grumpy, all these things, you know. It's such an interesting thing to ask of ourselves to be open when we're so vulnerable.
And it's a totally different, we're putting ourselves in a totally different culture where we don't speak the language and we're on a route that mostly people from Europe take, not from other places. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean that we won't be able to communicate, but it'll be a little more challenging with food that we're not familiar with. And, you know, what we have learned in the last couple of months is that in Spain, breakfast really isn't a thing. And so when we wake up in the hostel or the albergue, depending on where we stay, there may not be breakfast and we'll have to walk to the first town to get breakfast. And when we do find breakfast, it probably is just going to be coffee and a croissant. So it's not like an egg sandwich or
no protein.
So those are things like I like to have a, my husband and I are big breakfast people. So that's, I mean, we are obviously going to pack some bars and do be prepared, but those are things that we're preparing for. And, you know, the meal patterns are different than our patterns. And part of this is learning that this is not about the works walking in Spain and all about the works, getting what they want when they want it. It's about us learning how to lean into the culture we're in. Right. And we need to make the adjustments, not the people that we come in contact with.
Well, which is, don't you think, just the secret to great travel anyway?
Absolutely.
That's my number one requirement for travel. That and always defaulting to yes. So if you meet people and they ask you to their house for dinner, yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I know that I'm good with that. Yeah. I like to do. I like to learn. And I'm really, I've discovered a few things for my, on my phone that Google Translate, I discovered it works wonderfully when somebody's just speaking and it translates real time. I mean, it might be broken translation, but enough that you can talk. I actually, there's a retired bishop from Brazil and his wife who have been here on campus and I got to know them. They speak some English, mostly Portuguese, and a little bit of Spanish. I speak some French, less Spanish, no Portuguese.
Right.
but I can chat with them through, we can figure it out in the Google Translate. So that actually gave me a little comfort saying, okay, and I know some basics. I've been working on my Babbel. The next 3 weeks, I'll be doing my Babbel practice and
I love it.
Okay.
You know, if you're walking by yourself, that's a great thing to just while you're walking. I used to, when I was trying to teach myself Italian, I would walk and conjugate verbs in my head.
Oh, my goodness.
She said, he said, we said, they said.
You know? So we did tell people, we live on the campus of Virginia Theological Seminary and apartments here on campus. And so we did tell people, if you see either of us walking the dog and looking like we're talking to ourselves, we're probably just working on our Spanish. Don't worry about us. It's okay.
It's okay. So we talked about maybe you'd be able to do some interviews from the Camino.
I'm hoping so.
We'll tell our listeners that this is in the works. We're going to try and make it happen. And if it does, if we can make it happen, when we make it happen.
that's right. When we make it
words
happen.
Words are everything. When we make it happen, we're going to interrupt all, what is it called? Scheduling broadcast, previously scheduled broadcast. So do yours in a row so people can walk with you. I think that would be wonderful.
Well, my husband and I, this week has been a good week for us to do like the high mileage. We were just curious to see how our bodies would respond. And I said, whoa, it'll be interesting because Anna will probably call us when we're like one of those first high mileage days. So I wanted to see if I could still talk. So we're good because I did do it for 3 days in a row. I still can talk. I think that's a lesson that both he and I are already learning is that mileage, we have a goal of 15 miles a day. And it doesn't sound like a lot until you realize how long it takes to walk 15 miles. And then we started thinking, okay, this will be doable. Like one day this week, he actually had off in the middle of the week and we walked early in the morning. Then we came back and had some breakfast and took our dog for a walk. She can't do long walks anymore. Oh. So then we did another longer walk in the afternoon and then we took a little rest and then we took another little walk and we thought, well, this is what it will be like. It's not like we're in a race. to win like the fastest, you know, Camino or anything like that. So suddenly when we started breaking it down into smaller pieces, it felt better.
Oh, I can imagine. And that when you just laid it out like that, your day just sounds so lovely.
Well, here's the other thing we learned. In Spain, they typically don't eat dinner until 10 p.m.
Right. So I heard that.
Any given night, this girl is in bed by 9:30 because I get up early in the morning. Is so we realized that we'll have to figure out our walking thing, but and eating when we eat. But it does make for a lovely day. And we're like, we'll probably be able to fall asleep pretty easily because we're going to be tired. Piece of cake.
Yeah, you'll be tired and digesting.
Exactly.
No problem. And that, you know, I think you did kind of answer, but so will you mostly be doing hostels? Are you carrying a tent?
You can't. So there is no like free camping out on. So yeah, so there's no tent to carry. That scares me a little bit because at least when I have a tent, I know I can just pull up on the side of the road and take a little tent.
Yeah.
But it's going to be okay. We'll be staying in albergues, which is what we would call a hostel, right? Mm-hmm. An albergue. And we also, so we're of a certain age.
Young and vibrant.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. So my husband turned 60 this summer. He doesn't look like he's going to be 60.
And no, he does not.
I turn 56 a couple days after we return. So obviously we're not as young as many of the hikers will be. And so we are thinking that we may try and do private albergues, which have single room, you know, like private rooms.
That's nice. Yeah.
Just to sleep because I've slept in the huts in the White Mountains, you know, with 40 other people, and you get a few snorers and, you know, they might sleep well, but the rest of the world, not so much.
Yeah. You know, I'm actually a shocking introvert. And when it comes to nighttime, I need my own space so badly. Even if I'm sleeping in a room, all that energy is disruptive to me. I know that sounds silly, but it is what
actually,
it is.
So again, another reason why we're like, I think sisters Seriously. Separated at birth, because people think, oh, you're an extrovert, Lisa. And I'm like, actually, ambivert, it's a thing. Mm-hmm. I can do the extrovert thing, but I do too. I just kind of need my space and just unwind and
I love people and I love life, but my battery recharging is very intense and needs silence. So I'm lucky I let my dog and cat live with me. That's
I love it. I love it. I love it.
So is there anything else that you're looking to get from your Camino that you're hoping to experience?
So I obviously, because it's who I am, I've read so many books of other people's experiences and watched. That's pretty much what my husband and I did during the pandemic. Like we read everything we could find and about the Camino. But recently I've been reading, I read the book. I just finished it, The Art of the Pilgrimage by Phil Cuisineau. And another book by, I'm going to probably butcher his name, so I apologize. Paulo Coelho,
yeah.
The Pilgrimage. Mm-hmm. And both of those books really have helped me kind of have a different mindset about going into it, not expecting to know not expecting to know all the answers, not expecting to have everything go perfectly, like being open. But then also, I'm already trying not to get ahead of myself too much, but paying attention to say, how do I bring the pilgrimage back home? Because part of what I really, in fact, even today, I spoke with my friend, Lisa. It's a great name. You should have a friend named Lisa, too. And
it is a great name. I do have a friend named Lisa. She's awesome. She's getting ready to go on a hike.
She actually is she works at the school at the cathedral in D.C., the big national cathedral. Mm-hmm. And she's a chaplain there. And she was telling me that, you know, as we were talking, she goes, have you thought about doing more work on this? I'm like, well, you know, I've thought about how cool it would be to write a ready for it. My husband's going to have a heart attack when he hears this. a thesis, like a dissertation on pilgrimage.
I love it.
Yeah. So, but that would mean more schooling and that kind of stuff. So we'll see about that.
It probably would actually also mean going back again.
You'd have to do research.
Absolutely.
You would have to do research. Yes. Absolutely.
Your schooling would depend on it. Yes.
Exactly. I'm sure there are more grants to be had. But what I learned, what I've done in reading all of this and thinking about the dissertation is not everybody has the means or the ability to go overseas to do this, although I wish they could.
Of course, yeah.
But how can I, and that was sort of like our Appalachian Camino experience all those years ago, that has really had an impact on me. And I am starting to be open to that. Like, how can I bring the Camino, the Camino experience in one shape or another for people who can't make it overseas and could do it right here?
I love that. I love it so much because y'all's Appalachian Camino also had a huge effect on me just from when I heard about it. It was the rightness of the entire idea. Mm-hmm. And it's something as simple as moving our body through nature. It opens us to so much growth, you know, it opens us to be more open spiritually and to hear messages that we wouldn't be hearing, you know, during the, and part of that is I joke about it, but like the hard work, like the being sore and being sweaty and being out of breath and frustrated because your feet hurt and you still have 2 miles to go. All of that is ripe. It makes you so ripe for growth. And I just remember thinking when y'all did that first one, I was like, this is the most brilliant thought. And I can see you doing it in all different ways, shapes, and forms.
I have some ideas. So we'll see how they, even over the next year. I've done a little research. They're called small Caminos or mini. There's a little website that places that you in the United States where you can do little mini, like for different things, like the Trail of Tears and some of the others. So just, I think it could be a thing.
Oh yeah.
And
you're perfect for it. So,
well, I actually wrote some papers this last year about the Camino and things like I could go on for hours about this. So you open the door, but St. Augustine, who is a father, a church father, right? There's a phrase and it's in Latin, and I don't speak Latin. My Latin is terrible, but it is solved by walking. That's attributed to him. It is solved by walking. Mm-hmm. And the other piece is that the man who did all the yellow arrows with the shells,
right?
Okay. His whole story is amazing because he came to this little place. It's actually on the Camino Frances, it's like a church where, like the last three rectors or three priests in 5 years, like one got sick, one like left for another reason. It was like, bad juju, right? Like,
right.
They want to go. But he went, and not only did he go, he became so committed to this town because it was like a trail town. The Camino came right through it. Mm-hmm. And he helped to rebuild at that time they called them refugiés or an abrigé.
So yeah.
He helped to refix it up. Then the town became better and better. Then they found some yellow paint, no kidding, and started painting the arrows because I believe truly this is huge. When people could see their way with the arrows, they could be open to the other things learn along the way. And so I think, that has such a profound effect upon me that I think that's true in wherever we are, whether it's welcoming people into a building or into a community. If people know where they are and how to get places, then they can be more open. The anxiety of not knowing where you are goes away and you can be open to more things.
You know, when you said that statement, you know what I saw in my head was a labyrinth.
Yes.
That's exactly, you don't have to think about your direction. It takes you.
It takes you there. But labyrinth, the first time I ever walked one, oh my gosh, because you're like, I'm real close to the center. No, I'm not.
Exactly.
It pulls you back out. Then I'm real close to the center. No, I'm not. But it's through that back and forth is where we find the peace.
It is. And I've often told myself, as well as any friend that will listen, but when I'm struggling with whether or not I've come any distance at all in my personal quests, in my growth, I always remind myself that you can travel 500 miles on a labyrinth and it looks like you have only moved an inch or not at all, but you're closer to the center. You just, you know, and so I think a labyrinth is a wonderful symbol of that. I also think that you could take the, I don't know what's copyrighted, but if you like made bumper stickers that said, what did you say? The walk is the way.
It's worked out by walking.
It's worked out by walking.
Find the answer by walking. Yes.
And something to the, something about the leaning into questions. If you made bumper stickers, notepads, t-shirts, and with the proceeds, then you could do scholarships for people to be able to go do a Camino.
Oh,
that's like a perfect little part of your what's going to happen afterwards. Just a thought. I'm just saying.
With market here, people, you heard it first here. Because honestly, when Anna and I talked the very first time, we talked about the Camino, but it was such a pipe dream then. Such a pipe dream. I just never thought it could be possible.
I know, which is why I just feel like I have this beautiful, it's like I've risen above and just watched this whole thing play out. It gives me goosebumps to think about you doing it. And it's just so right.
Oh, well, I am very excited, maybe a little nervous, but very excited.
You know, the nerves are part of it. That's part of great. It's great. And all of this is going into your story. And so, you know, just you tell yourself that every step of the way, this is all going into my story. And remind yourself, no good story is all great and fun. And
no, there's always a plot twist. Makes a good story.
You got to have some conflict. You got to have, so then you got to get over the conflict. And that's a good story.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. So true.
Well, I am so excited to follow you. And I know that our listeners will be too. However it happens, we're going to follow you during it, or you're coming right back on the show right after you do it, whatever.
Yes. Of course.
That's perfect. Yeah. I love it. So,
One more thing, Anna, to say, and because I think this will go up before I hit the trail, maybe not, but even if it doesn't, I'll be able to have access. This week, I was actually listening to another podcast about the Camino. And the gentleman who's the host was talking about, he did a Camino where he took people's prayers with him and prayed them every day. And I was so moved by that I too would like to do the same. So I have a little, and I'll share it with you, that you can put it in the show notes. And they just give their name, and I will not share like the prayers with anybody. I mean, it's just between what I will be praying to God on their behalf. But I will pray it every single day for those who would like me to.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, I don't mind sharing with our listeners that my mom had shoulder surgery at this point, 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago. I was very worried about her, and you and I spoke, and you offered to put her on your prayer list. And let me tell you, she came through brilliantly. Her recuperation has been so much ahead of schedule. She got rid of her sling like a month and a half early. The doctor said she was the most amazing patient ever. And a lot of that is due to my mom's discipline. And a lot of that, I believe, is due to your prayers. And
It's not me. It's God. I'm happy to be a conduit.
I love that. And I'm grateful to God. And I'm grateful to you for being the conduit. And I was going to tell you that after we hung up, but everybody deserves to hear it. So thank you for hearing other people's prayers, because that's invaluable.
Well, I think I used to say when I was a school administrator, sometimes we have to hold the dreams of our students because they can't hold them themselves. And sometimes we pray with people or for people because they can't do it themselves.
That's true. Lisa, you're more amazing every time I talk to you. And I don't even think it's possible to ever be more amazing. But then the next time you are.
Oh, sure.
Thank you. Thank you. We will be speaking very soon again. If you need anything in the next 3 weeks, if I can help you in any way, put out the word. If you need to borrow gear, I will put out the word to the dames.
I'm hoping when I get back this summer in June to like hook up with those Maryland Trail dames. they are not far from me, and they're always doing fun stuff.
They
are
cool. I
want to hike with them.
You're going to love them. They are cool, cool, cool. Let me tell you. I wish I was half as cool as the Maryland Dames. So. All right, sweetie. Well, we will talk soon. And for our listeners, pay attention to the schedule because she will be back here before you know it. Bye, sweetie.
Bye.
So I have to tell you, when we hung up, I looked at her and I said, you know, the next time we talk, your boots are going to be on Spanish soil. And she just like, well, my gosh, but how cool is that? I know you can hear her excitement about the journey that's to come. I just am kind of blown away at getting to have this ringside seat of watching this amazing woman do this amazing thing. And it just feels so right. I told her also when we were finished, we were talking about, you know, her fears and what she was hoping would happen and everything. And I told her, I said, you know, I said, I don't even think of the Camino as being the event. I think of the Camino as giving birth to the next event in her life. And I just can't wait to see what that's going to be. But for now, I want you to just keep an eye on the calendar because she is going to call me and set up a couple of times at least from the Camino where we can talk and she can tell us about her journey, how it's happening. And when that happens, I will immediately post it so that you don't have to wait very long for an update on how she and her husband are doing. I'm so glad you listened to the podcast today. Being a Fifth Tuesday episode, we're going to leave it at that. No Appalachian Trail Journal entry today. I just want to tell you it's episodes like this that remind me how lucky I am to do this and how grateful I am to all of you for listening. My name's Anna. My friends all call me Mudbutt. Thanks for being here for the Trail Dames podcast.
I'm gonna find a